Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, it is a short turnaround to game week 28. So I'm just going to ask very quickly, how are you?
Yeah, right. We have like less than 48 hours before the next deadline, but I'm great. I felt like I was a little bored earlier today watching a couple of nil-nils until suddenly all of this drama exploded in the Carabao Cup final. Mm-hmm. And we were bearing witness at the Black Horse Tavern, our favorite headquarters. Just a quick shout out to friends of the pod who came and watched with us. Andrew Ferber, special shout out to him who came all the way from California. And I love him. He's part of the Goalkeepers Union. And of course, our friends Danny Bean and Alex Martinez were there. And Patreon supporter Jeff DeMasso, who just happened to be in the neighborhood and spotted us from across the bar and came over and said hello. So it was great to meet you. Meet you, Andrew and Jeff.
Yeah, I second everything you said there, Brandon. It was amazing. I called us the La Cassette Appreciation Society. We all bared witness to his 7 points, which 7 points from him felt like that was like it felt like 50 on this game week. You know, to add 7 points to your total. Yes. It was a brutal game week. You know, we haven't even done rants of the week in a while, but we've got three that we're throwing on this week because there's just so many great stories. And especially with the Friday start, a lot of people forgot to set their teams, but it actually helped some people in the end. So it was just a total mess.
Regarding Lacazette, it's funny to hear you pitch his 7-pointer in terms of a positive. I mean, granted, as you say, it's a very low-scoring week. The typical reaction to that Lacazette performance from an FPL manager was, dude, you could have scored like 4 or 5 goals. He had so many point-blank shots.
Yeah, this is like you and like the Twitter community, but I was happy with my 7 points. It still felt like a lot on the game week. And I don't know. It's like the second I stop, like, celebrating like a goal and a bonus point is like that's what I'm playing too much fantasy because like that
good man.
A 7-point return was perfectly in the face of the 1-pointer from Aubameyang. It was worked out really well. So I was just going to note quickly the end of that League Cup final was insane, and I was just thinking about watching it as. Watching, like, I felt so much pity for Sarri, the manager, as a real-life man. Like, both of us manage people in our regular jobs, which have nothing to do with you know, sports or anything like that. And that's, like, one of my greatest fears as a manager is, like, telling someone what to do and then having them, like, just defiantly, like, not do it. Like, in the face of me telling them repeatedly. And then you're like, wait, what do I do here? Like, do I...
do I fire them? Like, what?
Obviously, you fire them.
Well, sure. I mean, it's not easy to fire somebody. You know, it's very complicated. And in TV, it's easy. People just get fired. In real life, it is an incredibly complicated thing. And of course, sorry, can't even fire Kappa. I guess he could not, start him at midweek.
He'll just send him to train with the under 21s for the rest of his life, I guess. Yeah. I was thinking about this after the match of. Sorry, the fact that he didn't just walk out onto the pitch and grab the tiny little keeper and pull him off the field.
There was a story about Rudiger apparently interceded and like got in front of Sarri and stopped him from going over to Kepa. Like, what would have happened if Rudiger didn't do that? Like, would he have like throttled him? I mean, like, what would have happened? I'm so sad that we don't know.
I don't know. It's all very strange. I look forward to all the stories that come out this week about what's going on there. I mean, the clock is ticking for poor Sarri. He must be booking his flight back to Napoli as we speak.
Yeah, it was awful. So, but I guess, and out of that game too came some pretty tricky stuff. We'll talk about that later on in the podcast, but we'll talk about more. But Aguero plays 120 minutes. Laporte goes off the pitch. Sané looks bad, although I'll probably start at midweek. It was not a great, like, I don't have any fantasy assets right now from Chelsea or Man City, so that worked out like pretty well, I would say, although I was thinking about bringing in Leroy Sané. And now I don't even know what were your thoughts on Man City after that game?
They didn't look great against Chelsea, but they have been in really good form recently. They've been playing a lot of matches, and it was the type of performance where I feel like they had expressed enough confidence that they knew they were going to win. And not every match is going to be, 3 to 4 goals being put past the opponent.
Right.
So even though they had to take it to penalties, I think that they did show enough metal where I didn't lose a lot of faith in them as a squad. Right.
But no, of course not. But I just mean because they have this Wednesday match, right? And there's this quick turnaround.
Yeah.
You held on to Aguero. I assume you were thinking about captaining him at West Ham. I mean, that's got to be at least concern now, right?
The Matt Pinfield MTV special 120 minutes is not great for an Aguero midweek cut. Captaincy. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. For all you old people out there. Jesus, we don't know a lot about him right now, other than he could potentially be available midweek.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does he come right back in just to give Aguero a breather? But Aguero still looked fresh, and he was laughing and having a great time with that trophy and having a fun time laughing at Kepa when he squeezed that.
He absolutely could play. It plants some doubt, though, right?
It does. And the Sané, I do feel confident that he will play, just because, as you say, there is some trouble, some injuries, and Fernandinho as well. I think the squad is thin enough and Leroy is fit enough that he kind of has to play.
Right.
He has to start.
And Laporte, I mean, we don't know, right? But most likely he's not playing midweek.
Yeah, that's probably the one that is the first order of business in terms of injury. And if it's a hamstring, as reported for Laporte, he could be out for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And if I'm thinking of wildcarding right after, or if I'm doing the whole free hit 32, my team is going to completely change. So there's not a lot of incentive for me to hang on to Laporte. Right. I mean, my transfer this week was I immediately dumped Aaron Wan-Bissaka for Lascelles, because I knew if I was going to miss 1 or 2 weeks with AWB, just drop him now and bring in a game week 31 player.
Yeah.
So Laporte, I mean, not seeing Trent play against Manchester United is interesting. I imagine he will play midweek and we can reassess then. But I like the idea of Laporte to Trent for my third Liverpool player.
I don't know if I'd recommend Trent right now. I just worry that he's not that he's in and out starter. If he's not starting in a match this big, it just feels like he's not necessarily locked in, to play, twice in 3 game weeks or anything like that. So,
The more interesting thing for me is all the Chelsea assets that may come back into our thinking, particularly if Sarri ends up getting the sack, because we all know Chelsea love life after a manager is sacked. Does Hazard suddenly explode for a bunch of points once Sarri is gone?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, will Sarri leave, though? I mean, who knows? He actually handled the situation really well in the press conference afterwards. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, it seems likely that he'll leave at some point. Will it be before what I would want it to happen before this upcoming weekend? Because I would like to move Lacazette to Higuain before the Fulham match. But I don't know if I can quite have the confidence to do it as long as Sarri's still there. So
you can play it as well as you want in the press conference, Josh. Nobody watches press conferences. Like, if you compare the number of people watching that meltdown happening on the sidewalk, the sideline, yeah, to the number of people who care about these press conferences, true, the optics are just insanely bad for Chelsea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of them is going to have to fall on their sword here.
All right. So we know that things are very up in the air with both clubs right now. It was not a good situation if you have their assets or you're thinking about bringing them in. It kind of makes me just inclined to I think I might just go one game week without anyone from Man City and just sort of cross my fingers and hope that it doesn't come back to hurt me, because I just don't. Like, you know, and even I was thinking about Son to Sané as a move this game week, but I worry about that now too, because I mean, Chelsea just played 120 minutes, you know, Sarri never rotates. So, I mean, you got to kind of think that Spurs could do something in that game now, you know, in the Chelsea match. So, you know, and then a home fixture, you know, for the North London Derby is this weekend. I'd love to have Son for that too. So Son may earn a stay of execution for a little while longer. Do you want to talk quick? You know, I'm conscious of the new game week starting in a couple of days, so I don't want to spend too long talking about game week 27, but let's just do a quick recap of how both of us did.
All right. I'll give you the highlights of team A Bad Year for Kits, Brandon's squad. I made one transfer. It was AWB out for Lascelles, as I mentioned. I was missing three key players this week: Son, Felipe Anderson, and an Arsenal striker. And I decided to sidestep all of them and risk it. And I feel like I dodged a bullet. Ended up with 43 points, thanks to Lascelles' clean sheet and a small green arrow up about 1,200 points. Feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, I would feel pretty good about that too. I mean, that's three green arrows in a row for you, right?
Let's see. What was my game week history? Yeah, three in a row. So go back to game week 24, and I was 20,821 in the world. And, you know, I've crept up almost a whole 3,000 spots with three green arrows. It's tough up here.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I finished on 44 points, but that was with a 4-point hit. I had an eye towards my thinking was basically that I was going to eventually take a 4-point hit anyway, to try to bring in more game week 31 players. I have fully committed to the game week 31, game week 33, load up on the crummy players approach, and then free hit chip in game week 32. And I mean, we obviously saw the downside here, right? I mean, Felipe Anderson had, like, he touched the ball about four times in the game.
Yeah.
James Maddison did nothing. Perea got 0 points. you know, I mean, like, we'll see if it, like, it ever works out. But I did at least bring in Anderson. And what sort of worked out well for me there was I decided to gamble again and bring in Lacazette instead of Aubameyang. Now, I don't see Lacazette as good a fantasy asset as Aubameyang, but when I was thinking long term about sort of how I was going to distribute my money, I basically wanted to hold on to Richarlison, because I wanted to hold on to him for 31 and 33. So I have this kind of funky lineup right now where I've got five across the middle, and then I'm just going to rotate Anderson and Richarlison, like, depending on their game weeks over the next couple of weeks, until game week 31 rolls around. And then I will happily dump them after game week 33, both of them. And, like, Felipe Anderson, like, ugh, we'll talk about him in a minute. But that was just,
oh boy,
what a, like, did you watch any of that game? I mean, it was,
I did. He was invisible. I totally know what you mean. And yeah, he is a tricky one, but he does still seem like the most appealing midfield asset. Lanzini coming back into the squad. You would assume that Snodgrass is more of a concern, even though Snodgrass had the better game of all the Midwest End midfielders.
Yeah. It's just, you know, sometimes you just get your head, like, locked into a transfer, and it's like you can't listen to reason, you know. And it was like, I mean, look, I'm looking at his returns going back to game week 20. You know, it's 2 points, 2 points. It's 2-2-3-2-2-8-2-2, right? He's done nothing. He has one assist in the last eight game weeks. But, you know, in my head, it was, I need him. He is going to deliver at Fulham. Like, nothing will talk me out of this.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, I captained Son this game week. And so I feel, you know, I ended up in a very small red arrow. I'm down to 2,843 overall. So I think I only dropped like 190 spots or something like that. So
yeah.
Not going to complain about that at all. That felt like perfectly happy to tread water. And I, especially on a, you know, with a captain fail and a 4-point hit, it feels like I sort of like I got away with murder a little bit. And Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't play either. So I had 10 players this game week. I mean, I think the biggest thing was Aubameyang not starting and only coming on for like 13 minutes. I mean, to have a good season, you need some luck, and him playing for 13 minutes and getting 1 point doubled was hugely lucky for all of us who didn't have Aubameyang, and obviously really bad luck for anybody who did. Brandon, quickly, I don't need to keep saying quickly, right? Like, we're moving at like a normal, steady pace here. So
I'm having trouble keeping up at this point, but go on.
The always cheating Super League, Brandon, I'm going to run through the top 10 of the Super League. All right.
Yes, let's go.
All right. I got a tie for 10th. It's the Crazy Gang, and Caldefoss. In 9th place, we have Back to Office. Wait, should I be reading off the names of the people or their team names?
Yeah, that's, I think go the names. Let's go add the personal touch, Josh. That's okay. What people really come for.
All right, fine. All right, Sir Ido Nigrin is tied for 10th with Adni Caldefoss. Stian Sorabo is in 9th. Christer Lando, Landro, not Lando, they're not like a Star Wars thing, is in 8th. Miroslav Pujic is in 7th. Joseph Swatowski is in 6th. Alexander Arkhipov in 5th. Jason Mann in 4th. Kalon Hewitt is in 3rd. That's a new entry, Brandon. Welcome Kalon Hewitt.
Yeah.
Matthew Shannon is in 2nd. Nacho Macho Man. And no transfer lane, Matty Fossum is in 1st. Matty Fossum is 55th overall. So congrats to Matty and everyone in the top 10.
And I will skip right to our Patreon shout-outs, Josh.
Hurry, so, Brandon, hurry.
Quickly now. quick thank you to our new Patreon supporters at the Volkswagen level. It's Roar Jorstad. Lord Sorloth level, we have Charlotte Gage. And at the Emmakani tier, Magnus Rothbakken, El Ravel, Ole Christian Greigsacker, Braden Teigenfeld. Sorry for these pronunciations. This is amazing. You did so well with the Always Cheating Super League, Josh. Now here I am butchering these names. Also at the Embakani tier, Gordon Milne, Jonathan DeSimone, and When Harry Met Ali. Thanks to our new Patreons. If you'd like to check out how you can support what Josh and I do here at the podcast, go to patreon.com/always cheating. Of course, the newest feature is our kitchen table sessions. If you become a Patreon supporter, you get a special supporters only podcast feed in which you get not just one podcast a week, you get two podcasts a week. So
that's right.
At the end of each week, either Josh or I sit down at our kitchen table, record our thoughts ahead of the game week deadline. Of course, like after this week, whoever does the KTS episode will talk about how they did midweek, take some Q&A questions from our Patreon supporters. It's a great feature. And we also offer entry to our Slack chat forum, t-shirts, all sorts of bells and whistles. So again, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating for more info.
All right. And Brandon, we haven't done the rants of the week for a while. Sometimes they're too depressing and I don't like to read them because I think they're just going to bum everybody out. But we have some high quality ones this game week. So I'm just going to run through these again. Quickly.
Do it quickly, Josh.
That's my watchword today. the Dork Lord says, my mini league rival, Captain Rondon, I Captain Abba. Have I said enough?
Now, you've Brandon, said too much, Dork Lord.
It's a bit of a rant, but I like the economy of words in that, right? Three crisp sentences. That's tight.
It was as if Ian McEwan himself wrote that rant.
Henry Chung says, if my mini league rival has Delafeu, Rondon, Char, and Captain Lacazette, as well as Robertson and Van Dyke, is this considered cheating? To whom should I report him? Yeah, I think your rival is always cheating, in fact. uh-huh. He's the namesake for the pod. Yep.
Yeah, on brand.
Hack the game. One more rant here is from Connor Foth Azam. He says, despair and anguish in its most pure and concentrated form is thinking you Captain Jimenez, bragging about it to your mini league mates, and then swiftly realizing that you actually gave the armband to Anderson inexplicably. I remember I did that last year. Do you remember when I thought I'd captain Kane and I actually captained Lukaku and I celebrated Kane's goal. And I was like, I went to look at the points and I was like, what is going on?
I don't remember, but I love this story.
I was seriously like, was I hacked? Like what happened here? So that's a true story.
That's hilarious. All right. So, what we're going to talk about in this episode, Josh, I'm reading your notes here. We're going to talk, first about game weeks 31 and 33, just going to run down the list of potential, you know, binnable players that we might have to pick up to play in these blank game weeks 31 and 33. And then we've got a quick lightning round before we preview the midweek fixtures for game week 28.
Yep, you got it. Exactly. I know a lot of managers are starting to look ahead. I mean, you know, obviously game week 31 and 33 are still, you know, three game weeks away. But, you know, most of us, you know, because, you know, 10 teams don't play in game week 31, you know, a lot of us are really trying to gear our transfers around players who, you know, you won't have to bench basically in a couple of game weeks. So we tried to pick out some players who we thought had some appeal. And, you know, let's take a break and we'll get right into it. Brandon, we're back. We today are looking at players to buy on teams we don't like. All right. There are a lot of crap teams that play in game week 31 and 33. Now, we don't know exactly who is going to play in game week 33 because it'll depend, you know, based on, you know, who wins the quarterfinal round of the FA Cup. But based on the matchups, I think we have a fair sense. But just, you know, just to keep things a little cleaner on the pod, we're just going to talk about teams that don't blank in game week 31 for this podcast. So the list of teams that don't blank in game week 31, you got a couple that are decent, right? You got Chelsea and Liverpool. And even Chelsea is like a little shaky right now. And then you've got Burnley, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Leicester, West Ham, Everton, Huddersfield, and Fulham. Right. Huddersfield and Fulham, we're not even talking about in this podcast. It's like they don't exist. Like there is nobody that I would recommend all the way through that team. Right. Goalkeeper, defenders, midfielders, forwards. I don't want you to have a single player from either of those two teams. I mean, your boy, you know, I mean, you love Billing, of course.
Billing. I mean, he came through with 1 point when I needed it most this week. So I do duck my cat to him. I like the way you set up this running order here, Josh. And for game week 31, we're going to talk about 31 different players that you might consider bringing in for that game week. And for game week 33, we've got 33 different players that you might consider.
Different players. It's 64 players. It's an NCAA tournament bracket worth of players to talk about.
So this might be a long episode. I'm not sure. We'll see how quickly we could do this. But should we talk about goalkeepers first who we're thinking of bringing in for these blanks?
Yeah, exactly. So Brady was just kidding for the record. Yeah, we're going to move through just some keepers, defenders, midfielders, and forwards. These are players that we just wanted to kind of cover all of the different spots. This was inspired by Fantasian PL, Ian on Twitter. So credit where it's due. He inspired me to put this together as a running order. So keepers, Brandon, you got like a little bit of everything, right? You've got Heaton. There are four that I thought were like potential keepers that I would look at for 31 and 33. You have Heaton, Schmeichel, Allison, and Dubravka. Okay. Right. And the issue with two of these four, maybe three of them actually, is that they're too expensive. Dubravka should be 4.5 million. It is inexplicable that he is 5 million. It makes no sense. Why is he five? Every other defender on that team is 4.5, except for
definitely
maybe
a miscommunication at FPL Towers on that one preseason.
Yeah. He had like two good games in the end of last season and suddenly he was 5 million. Tom Heaton is too expensive, I think, too. I mean, he's down to 4.8 because he started at 5, but even at 4.8, it feels like almost too much for him.
Yeah, right.
Allison is, you know, I think the one keeper that he had a good game today for sure. He's the one, but obviously he's the hardest player to bring in, you know. Right. But I don't think people have talked enough about Allison as a third Liverpool player, right? We know that Liverpool play in 31 and 33. You know, they have decent fixtures in both of them, right? And very good fixtures, in fact. They play Fulham and Southampton in those two matches. So you really want to be tripled up. And if I were just wild carding right now, I would not have Trent Alexander-Arnold. I would have I would have Robertson, I would have Salah, and I would have Alisson. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about Salah later, but is that the three that you would have too if you were just starting with the wild card?
There's one missing. For Liverpool, yeah. The question there is Sadio Mane. Do you go hard with attack for Liverpool, given that they have these really plum fixtures? Is there more chance that you're going to get a big haul with attack as opposed to just a clean sheet from Alisson?
I could be biased because he was so garbage today, but
Sadio Mane.
Yeah,
of course. So the one goalkeeper missing from this list here is Fabianski for West Ham, of course, and he has Huddersfield.
he was considered and rejected.
That's interesting. I like him. I mean, they have City midweek, but then after that, it's Newcastle, Cardiff, Huddersfield in the blank. And I think that's a really decent run for a 4.7 goalkeeper.
But I mean, he has one clean sheet in the last 10 game weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I get that he's getting 3 points in a lot of those games, but it's just like, you know, I mean, I guess if it's just a 1 week punt, fair enough.
Yeah.
But
that
defense is very bad. It just is. Like, it's just they have like tons of mistakes in them. And I mean, Zabaleta plays too much still. I don't know. I mean, I would recommend going a little more expensive here. What do you think about Schmeichel? I mean, is that like, I mean, obviously they just conceded four at home to Palace.
Don't talk to me about how poor West Ham's defense and then come back to me with Leicester City. I don't even understand what's going on.
Well, FPL Waterlooser asked if any Leicester assets are more attractive or less attractive now that Puel is gone. I do wonder if maybe the defense is a little more attractive. I don't know. You know, it's a tricky one.
Yeah, so the goalkeepers do go hand in hand for me with defense, particularly talking about these bottom of the table teams, because I want to spread the risk around. And if I'm thinking about Leicester, I don't want to double up on defensive assets, whether it's goalkeeper or defender. So basically, if I'm looking at Leicester, I only want a defender, and there are, I think, a number of interesting attacking prospects there. Mm-hmm. You've got notes here on Chilwell and Pereira. Maguire, you could also add to that conversation because of his set piece threat. And the same would, I guess, go for Newcastle. Dubravka is an interesting goalkeeper, but I don't think I would want to double up with the Newcastle defense. And if you're eyeing up Lascelles or Yedlin or Shar, these players that could potentially get you attacking returns, that's how I do land with Fabianski for my goalkeeper. And that I do agree with you, West Ham's defense isn't great, mostly because I don't see any attacking returns coming from them.
Right. So you are going to be without a keeper as we you know, pod right now. You will not have a keeper in 31, probably won't have one in 33 either. Do you, is that a concern? Like, would you consider just going without a keeper in game week 31?
No, I fully intend to get a keeper in at some point. So I have Patricio and Matt Ryan right now. And I think the Wolves matchup with Huddersfield midweek is great. I don't have to worry about this transfer until at least game week 29. But the plan is definitely to bring in probably for Patricio and leave Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan potentially will have a double depending on when I actually wildcard. So I think he's worth hanging on to in the short term for that reason. So yeah, Patricio out, new goalkeeper in.
Yeah, I lean towards Heaton, I have to say, of this lot, especially because I don't think I'll bring in a new keeper until game week 31. And then once you do that, you have Burnley play, Leicester at home, Wolves away, Bournemouth away, Leicester and Wolves at home for game week 31, 32, Bournemouth away, and then Cardiff at home in 34. Now, you probably won't have him in 32 if you're free hitting, but regardless, you know, I mean, you might hold on to him. It's a really nice run of through several game weeks. And then, you know, right around 34, 35, you're going to wild card anyway. So I don't know. He seems like maybe the safest. At 4.8, it's a little more than you want to spend maybe. But again, it's a short term move. So I don't see the price being as big of a concern.
Yeah, I don't either. I do really like Heaton in this position, too. I think for me, it comes down to Heaton, Alisson, and yes, Fabianski.
Okay, fair enough. We will agree to disagree on Vanhanski.
That's fine. That's fine.
So, you know, defenders, we're talking about, you know, kind of the same pool of players a little bit, although I think we can add a couple more in here. So, you know, for defenders, you have, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, Pereira and Chilwell, you know, Johnny Evans at 4.8 million. What about the Chelsea? Would you consider David Luiz or Azpilicueta? It's kind of hard to recommend Chelsea defenders right now, isn't it? But I mean, they are high quality. I mean, you know, I mean, Azpilicueta is a great player. Luiz is a great player.
Yeah.
You know, they have some attacking returns in them.
The one that I'm interested in. Okay. So if we're thinking that the managerial makeup of Chelsea changes in the short term, that's good news for Marcus Alonso.
Right. Well, FPL, if it does.
Darling, yeah. Marcus Alonso. Yeah. And yes. That would be a guy to target as a big differential, because if they go back to an older Chelsea system, one that works and favors Marcus Alonso, like, what a great pickup that would be.
Right. But I do think someone's really going to come in and, you know, three quarters of the way through the season and go back to a three at the back, you know, wing back format. It seems hard to believe that would happen this late in the year.
I don't know. I don't find it that hard to believe, just because you can see that the players really haven't cottoned to it. They don't seem to want to be playing it. And, you know, every pundit during every freaking match and, you know, midweek podcast is going to talk to you about how Conte is being played in a terrible position of the field for him. What is Jorginho doing? Hazard doesn't really seem to have the service that he needs, and so on and so forth. I think that they have the tools. And all these guys are professionals. I think they could seamlessly go back to an older system.
Well, maybe we just have to just table talking about any Chelsea players for a couple of game weeks until what happens there. It's too open speculation. So I think, you know, one of the players that I'm looking at very seriously is a player you already have in your team, which is Jamal Lascelles. I think DeAndre Yedlin, who is, I think he's maybe even 0.1 cheaper than Lascelles, also totally locked in that team, has a couple of assists in him.
He was the hockey assist on both goals, I believe, yesterday. So, yeah, great show.
It's great. He's kind of the unsung hero of the U.S. men's, like top European talent right now. You know, it's like I feel like he doesn't get a lot ton of credit you know, but I mean, he's really solid, you know.
He's solid. Yeah. Sometimes it's not pretty with Yedlin, but he's doing it.
I know. Let's bring on that 2022 World Cup, man.
Let's go.
Yeah. The cheaters are going to Qatar.
We've got our hotel booked already. Have they built our hotel yet? I'm not sure.
Probably not. Yeah. Burnley defenders, you know, we talked about Eaton a little bit there. I think Burnley defenders there actually are some interesting options there. I mean, you have the classic, you know, Burnley center back players, but I mean, there are some really cheap, just like enablers in that team as well. I mean, Charlie Taylor is, you know, young player who's like really locked down that spot. I mean, I think he started every single game since game week 4 of the season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, they only have 5 clean sheets in that run. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I really came away. I mean, I watched, you know, all of the Burnley Spurs match. I came away like feeling better. I mean, obviously Burnley did win, but I just felt in general, like it was like they had solved some problem or something, you know, it was like they like something clicked that hadn't been clicking before.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, we can talk more about Burnley when we get to strikers, but Phil Bardsley at 4.2, he's played, let's see, how many consecutive starts has he had for Burnley now, going back all the way to game week 20. And at 4.2, if you're looking just to shoehorn in, maybe in place of AWB, someone who does play in the blank, you know, it's low risk there.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. It's funny how Stephen Ward is just like done. I don't know. I don't know if he was injured for a while or not, but Stephen Ward was like the man a couple of years ago.
He was, yeah. I think last season he had a really bad injury that took him out for like half the season. And I think that there was just no way back for him after that.
Yeah, he might be. I think he's like 33 or 34 too. So a bit old for a fullback. So, Brian, let's move on to the midfield. We have a few questions here. FPL Stag says, I brought in Fando. I don't know if I like Fando. No. You know how I am about portmanteaus, Brian. I'm not a fan.
You're very bad about that.
So, Fando, I believe, is Felipe Anderson. I don't keep up on the slang, you know, the kids use, Brandon. But
you haven't used Fando to buy movie tickets recently?
just lamenting in my head as I said that how old I sounded. Yeah. FPL Stag says, I brought in Fando for game week 27. Should I now sell Fando out of petulance? I got to say, I felt like my finger was hovering over the trigger to transfer him out after that Friday match. I mean, it was just, it was like you couldn't even believe that he would ever get you anything from a fantasy perspective. It was like, it might as well have been like the most deep line. It's not that he was playing like a deep line midfielder. It was just, he felt so peripheral to that game. Yeah. I heard that the Brazil national team manager was there, and maybe there was some, maybe he was in his head nervous. Or something. Yeah. Maybe it was nerves, or maybe he was just, for some reason, it was like it was the Snodgrass show. It was like everywhere I looked, it was like Snodgrass is jumping passes. And
yeah, our friend Guy Yedwa was having the time of his life watching that match.
So it was just, I don't know why, it was like whatever I wanted to get out of Felipe Anderson, some lucky manager was getting out of Robert Snodgrass instead.
Yeah, I'm tempted. Well, my position would be hold Felipe Anderson.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Hold it, of course.
The only bad thing is that the next match is Manchester City, and it'll be hard to reevaluate his worth in that match.
But then they have 3 out of 4 at home: Newcastle, Cardiff, Huddersfield, and Everton. Yep. So I think that he's a definite hold. I mean, mm-hmm. That's actually the reason for my funky team was basically I did want to start him away to Man City. Although honestly, I think it's maybe okay now. I mean, now that they played 120 minutes and they don't have Laporte, it would not be shocking if they conceded a goal at home.
No, yeah, I don't think so either.
All right, next question. Jeremiah John says, so in hindsight, Anderson or Madison?
Oh, well, it ended up not mattering this game week, I guess.
Madison is the new Dusan Tadic, right? I think that's so clear now.
Yeah. I made my bold statement this weekend saying that Tom Kearney is better than James Madison.
Wow.
So that's how I kind of feel about James Madison. Leicester's fixtures remain tremendous. At home, Brighton, away Watford, at home, Fulham, Burnley, Bournemouth, at Huddersfield, so on and so forth. I don't think Madison is necessarily a bad pickup, but that Huddersfield home fixture in 31 just seems so appealing to me. And as you mentioned, the fixtures in the short term for West Ham are decent enough for me to still believe you could get something.
I just can't believe a player as good as him hasn't scored a goal since game week 15. Like, that's so shocking. And I guess he, like, if they hadn't taken the penalty off him in the maybe he scores the penalty in that Spurs game. But yeah, I mean, he has 2 assists in the last 12 game weeks. And that's the, in 4 consecutive blanks. It's not happening for him right now. And but again, new manager. I mean, we don't, at the time of recording, we don't know who is going to be. Have they even announced a caretaker yet? I feel like that hasn't been formalized.
No. I'm just so relieved that we can finally stop talking about Claude Puel, the least interesting man in the Premier League.
They showed every 30 seconds, they would show him doing nothing. It wasn't like he's like Jurgen Klopp over there, like jumping around and like, holding his crotch and stuff like that. He was just like, he's just standing there like in a black suit.
He's even more boring to watch than Arsene Wenger. So that is a feat.
Well, Arsene Wenger always looked miserable. So there was like a certain kind of, like if Arsenal were doing poorly, as an Arsenal fan, there was a certain satisfaction in seeing him miserable. It's like, well, at least he's even less happy than I am.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Madison again next week. I mean, it's a shame that we have with Chelsea and now Leicester, we have 2 teams that are a little bit in flux, but I think it's just
it's reasonable and fair to say that you just don't know yet. And I think that because of that, it's really hard to recommend players from either team. We'll leave it at that for now. I don't even think there's like an edge in getting an early on somebody because you just don't know who's going to, and often like a new manager comes, it's like Bednarek, it's like a new manager comes in and they tend to have strong ideas about who should be starting and who's not, and it's like even someone like Pereira could be, it's doubtful, but like, could be in trouble under new manager. So
now you were talking about real life management at the top of the pod. What were the strong ideas you had for your team when you started your job that you currently have?
I was just going to run everything through Mark Albrighton. I was going to hire him into my job, run everything through him.
All the filing, all the photocopies. Mark, you're on it.
Finn Olav Haga says, is there any better sub 5 million alternatives for game week 28 and 33 than McNeil? Brandon, I'm going to go ahead and answer and say no. There are no better sub-$5 million alternatives. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. I mean, I have to go so far as to look for like Ashley Westwood on Burnley, who has who has 6 assists on the season. He's 4.6.
And come on.
I know. It's like scraping the bottom of the barrel. And the other guy that became kind of more interesting to me after watching the Newcastle Huddersfield match was Isaac Hayden. And he was pretty active in the attack, and he is only priced at 4.3. I mean, here's another player where if you're looking to prep for the blanks, but you don't want to move out really valuable assets for like a mid-price guy, Isaac Hayden looks like he could be nailed for a start, and he's very cheap.
That's true. Yeah, goal and 3 assists in his last 5. I didn't realize he'd done quite that well. That's really 1.3% ownership too. But I think McNeil is still the pick. He kind of feels like it's almost like a young Ryan Fraser or something, you know, he's like on corners and very tempting. And I think he will be in my squad at some point before the season's over. He's more expensive than 5 million, but I just wanted to give a quick shout out for Harvey Barnes. He's 5.5 million, has 4 starts in his last 6 for Leicester, had an assist in game week 27. I think the concern there is I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but again, does he continue to start under new manager at Leicester? I think he does based on his performances, but I guess there has to be some seed of doubt now.
Yeah, he's looked decent, but 5.5 is quite extravagant for him. I could see him working in my team at 5.0.
Yeah,
that's my hesitation.
All right, one last midfielder, Brandon. MLS Beer Club says, is Almiron a choice until the end of the season? He seems like an Energizer bunny.
He looked phenomenal this weekend. Sorry, I just talked over you saying that he is priced at 6 million.
Go ahead.
Let that not go unsaid, but he looked electric. And I mean, had he not put that chipped shot onto the post and actually put it into the goal, I mean, he'd be one of the huge talking points of the weekend, but I love him.
Yeah, I feel the kind of same way, I mean, especially like if you're looking for a differential, if you're looking for somebody that nobody else has, 0.6% ownership overall. I mean, people may be talking about him on Twitter and places, but nobody has him.
Yeah.
And, a super, super low ownership. Newcastle play Burnley, Everton, West Ham, Bournemouth in the next 4. I mean, all 4 of those are good fixtures. Very tempting to look at him, only a 6 million, which is a little pricey, but I think he's, there's a lot of faith, I think, even from the fantasy game itself, I guess, that he is, a player who can deliver. I mean, the big concern for me is just that I don't trust the Newcastle attack.
Yeah.
I just don't have a lot of faith in it.
If it is clicking, Almiron is just playing so far forward, and it looked like he already had a lot of ideas in terms of playing 1-2s with Perez and linking up with Rondon. He looks like he has these creative attacking ideas, and if that's all happening in the box, even the chances of then Rondon becoming more productive are interesting.
That's true, actually. That's interesting. So speaking of Rondon, let's get on to the forwards. So forwards for the next few game weeks. I think, Rondon is definitely a contender. I have been Rondon resistant.
Okay.
Just because I just, when he was at at West Brom, he wasn't that great. He was okay. He had declining goals every season, but he's already, with 11 game weeks to go, he's already matched the number of goals he scored last season, and has more assists already. So, it's just been very solid and steady all year long, which is kind of exactly what you want from a, 5.8% player. I mean, maybe I just haven't really considered him because I have Jimenez, who's kind of like a better version of him.
Yeah.
So,
Well, now we have another problem to solve, which is Marcus Rashford. I mean, I don't know how long-term this ankle tweak is, but Rashford to Rondon could be a very popular transfer this week.
Yeah. Ankle swollen like a balloon. According
to, but how big is that balloon? We just don't know.
Exactly. A little like a little water balloon, like in a park.
Yeah, like one of those balloons that you bend into animals or whatnot. They look like athletic legs, I suppose.
Yep. Yep. So I don't know. I'm probably going to hold Rashford, I think, for at least one game week. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, are you thinking about dropping him already?
I really am, but I'm scared because he's just been so good, and United's form has been so good, and they're, you know, they do have these blanks, but the fixtures that they do have remain decent. And if he is fit again for Southampton at the weekend, you would almost need to have Rashford for that match. So I'm scared to dump him. I realize what I'd be missing.
Yeah, it's a definite gamble. Maybe we'll know more before the Tuesday deadline. I mean, that's really the problem with even a minor injury when you've got game weeks at midweek and then again at the weekend. If he's out for a week and a half or 2 weeks, then suddenly you're three game weeks down.
Yeah.
With the player. So, but he did. I mean, he did tough it out. He didn't play the full 90. So
I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah. And it's kind of like driving your car around with a flat. You're like, yeah, I'll fix it eventually. So
exactly. Let me just get home.
So yeah, I mean, the best guess would probably be that he gets a rest midweek and that he's good to go on the weekend. I think that's plausible.
Yeah, I think that's that seems plausible to me too. But hopefully, we'll know more in the next couple.
All
of days.
All right, let's talk about the Austrian legend, the other Barnes, not Harvey. It's Ashley Barnes, 5.6.
Is Ashley Barnes Austrian?
He is.
Are you serious?
Well, yes, I am deadly serious.
I thought he was English. I didn't know he was Austrian. No, I don't think so, Brandon. He was born in Bath, England.
But he plays for the Austrian national team.
Well, he played for Austrian under 20. But he was born in Bath.
Well, listen, I came up
through Plymouth Argyle, Brandon, Oxford United, Salisbury City.
You get capped by the Austrian under 21s, and you're Austrian to me. So I watch more U16 World Cup than you.
Mystery resolved here. He was born in Bath to English parents, but he would qualify to represent Austria courtesy of his paternal grandmother, who is from Klagenfurt, of course. and he could acquire Austrian citizenship if he wanted to.
I love this. We learned a little something about Ashley Barnes today. What we've also learned this season is that last season wasn't a fluke. He is a late season wunderkind, to use an Austrian expression. 5.6. If you were to compare Ashley Barnes to Chris Wood, is it a no-brainer? You go Ashley Barnes?
Given current form, I would. Yeah. I mean, he's like one of those players who we just haven't talked about nearly enough this season. We talked about him a lot at the end of last season. I feel like you had a really nice run at the end of last season with Ashley Barnes.
I did. And it was right around this time. So 4-4, that's just in insane form. That's Rashford-esque form.
But he's a fun player to watch too. He's like a player you want in your team. You know, he's just like he's plays a lot of energy, like a lot of
desire,
fire. Yeah. You know, yeah, right. Yeah.
So we've got this lineup of affordable strikers right now. So currently, we're all probably on or close to Jimenez and Rashford and a premium striker. If you're saying you've got Rashford and Jimenez, who do we want of this lot when you're talking about Barnes and Rondon and Chris Wood and a few of these other guys?
Yeah.
Who's the priority? I don't know.
Yeah, probably Rondon, I guess. I mean, you kind of sold me on the Almiron thing a little bit, like just as like Almiron will free up some more space for Rondon. Obviously, Rondon had a great game and they have good fixtures and they seem like it seems like the team has rediscovered some form, you know, so I would go Rondon first, and then Barnes, and then I like the Bournemouth forwards beginning of game week 30 as well, especially if Callum Wilson comes back. I mean, I guess I don't really know where we are with that. I think it was like a month, but so we'll see. I mean, but you know, there's a really nice run for the Bournemouth closed the season. Yeah. Like I'm just looking at game weeks 30 through 35 right now. It's Huddersfield, Newcastle, Leicester, Burnley, Brighton, and Fulham.
Yeah,
some spectacular matches, and it would be great to have a piece of that team, possibly David Brooks when he comes back.
Yeah, and the latest predictions from Ben Dinnery's injury site is that both Callum Wilson and David Brooks are meant to be back for game week 30.
Okay, great. So
it could
we'll
be good
see.
Timing.
Yeah, exactly. Then you worry, you know, yeah, we'll see. You know, sometimes they get worked in slowly, but even Josh King, I think, is perfectly reasonable. If I have Josh King as one of my starting strikers in game week 31 at home to Newcastle, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. All right. We have a few more questions to round out this blank game week 31 chat. This from Matt Seward, who asks, with the Kepa debacle seemingly sounding the end of sorry, how concerned would you be about acquiring Chelsea assets with the blank game weeks in mind?
Yeah, I think we talked about this a fair amount already. I think pretty concerned. Not so concerned that I won't do it, but I really don't want more than maybe one player now from that team. Like I don't plan on rearranging my team to bring in Eden Hazard at the moment, right. You know?
All right, we've gone this long without really talking about Liverpool. So Delhi for Heisman asks, after four underperforming weeks from Salah, is it time to start questioning how much money we have tied up in him? Or is the template just too strong not to have him? So I think we can talk about, one, where are we with Salah right now? And two, where are we with Liverpool, which we've kind of touched on. You're looking at double defense and Mo for 31. I am not quite sold on that. I would consider Salah and Mane just for the attacking output for the blank.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a great situation, but it's not, it feels like it's not a priority for me right now. You know, I mean, he's a great player and it stinks that, you know, I mean, he scored last game week. It's not like he's on this like epic run of blanks, you know, but for him, I mean, for him to go goalless in 3 out of 4 matches is a, you know, a really long losing streak. I mean, they're about to play Watford at home. I mean, you can't. How many points did he score in Watford last year?
He scored four goals.
Scored four goals. You know, they play Everton away in game week 29. Everton don't play particularly good defense. Then they play Burnley at home in game week 30. And even an improving Burnley aren't keeping a lot of clean sheets. So, and then Fulham away in 31. You know, so I mean, I feel like if I brought him out, I'd want to bring him right back in.
Yeah,
you know, so that's really the issue.
Yeah, that Fulham fixture in 31, it cannot be overstated how much Fulham are in free fall right now. And I mean, I've said it on the last couple of podcasts, the possibility of a triple captain on Salah in that match.
Yeah, I still don't like to do it in a single game week, but it does make sense. And, you know, assuming that, like, I'm not sure exactly how the Champions League matches work out, you know, out around that time. But I think is that right? That's okay. It's right before the international break. So, you would expect him to play in that match. But, you know, there is like a definite trap sometimes about holding on to a player too long because you want to have him for one game week. Yep. It's like three down the line. But I just think in this case, it's just not a huge priority. And I think we have a season and a half of evidence now to conclude, even with Firmino out, which is also a little bit of a concern. But that also means that Salah's probably more locked into starting, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to go without Firmino and Salah, I would think, starting in your team.
And he may have to play a little more central. I mean, I don't know. I'm not.
Who knows? Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, if Sturridge plays, then he probably actually will play less centrally. But maybe that's not a problem.
Yeah, it's confusing, Josh. It's very confusing.
It is. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break, and we're going to do a fast lightning round after that break.
Josh, let's talk about our friends at Starting 11, the live Premier League fantasy app for your iPhone or Android device. You can play this game for free or for cash prizes. Josh, do you love money?
I do.
Do you have an iPhone or an Android device?
Let me check my pocket. Yes, I have an iPhone.
Oh, brilliant. So you can download and play Starting 11 any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches.
How about Tuesday?
Sure. Do it Tuesday and do it Wednesday.
Let's do it Wednesday. How about this Saturday?
And Saturday. Yes. Any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches, you can pick your perfect 11-man squad. Pick them from scratch. You have no budgetary restrictions. Starting 11 lets you make substitutions on the fly in real time, just like you're a real-life manager. Thousands of people are playing this game worldwide. They are competing for cash and for pride. Josh, you say you love money, but I know you also play for pride. That's just who you are.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, that's actually my FPL team name is Play for Pride. That's how much I believe in that approach. And Brandon, I think what's important to note here, what's important to me and to you and to people listening, is that cash games are live now in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany for your phone. Cash games are also live for Android devices in the UK, or just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. Brandon, do not, I insist, do not waste your money gambling on things you don't understand, which is basically everything, Brandon, except yeah. for fantasy. I've talked to you about many subjects. Nothing clicks nothing. Except fantasy. And so you're a savant, you know? And, so pick up the app and win some money playing on Starting 11 and go to starting11.io to learn more. All right, we're back. Lightning round. Richard Nyquist says, the one city player to own for game week 28 through 30. Now, Brandon, I will just note here that in game week 20 through 30, they play West Ham, Bournemouth, and Watford. Two out of three of those at home.
It's a tie, I think, officially, between Aguero mm-hmm. and Sterling. Hmm. So I might suggest, why not both?
Well, would you be burning multiple transfers to bring them in? I mean, you know, it's hard to have them both unless you're on like a wild card.
Yeah, and the problem, of course, now is that we're in the mode of sort of clearing house for people who are blanking in 31, and right. then we can just free yeah. hit our Manchester City assets in for 32.
Right.
Currently being with Aguero, I guess for mm-hmm. my personal team, Sergio Aguero seems like the one that I'm going to roll with.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that despite my slight concern about whether he starts the West Ham game, you'd still want him for the Bournemouth game and the Watford game. And I don't know. Yeah, I think that's true. I think Sterling would be a great player to have, but I wouldn't be like doing major surgery to bring him in. You know, I wouldn't like burn four to rearrange my team to do it. Not when they're about to not play in 31 and 33.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a little too tricky, I think. So I think that's kind of where I'm leaning.
I'm also in the afterglow.
I'm agreeing with you, but yeah. I just, yeah. Sorry, say that again.
I'm also in the afterglow of that incredibly taken penalty to win the League Cup. And then Pep yeah. just like embracing Raheem afterward, like he was his long lost yeah. son.
That's true. It was a great penalty. I totally agree. I mean, not quite as good as Hazard's penalty, which was extraordinary.
Well, it was funny.
That, like fluttered like a, it was a beautiful, like you threw a pillow or something.
I was standing next to our friend Danny, who is from Swindon. He's an Englishman. And mm-hmm. I kind of joked as Raheem was stepping up. I was like, oh, you love to see this, an Englishman stepping up to take a penalty to win the cup. That never goes wrong, does it? But there, Raheem, he just smashed it home beautifully.
All right, so we agree. I think Sané is actually an interesting player, a little risky. You know, David Silva got subbed off early in the match. Mm-hmm. That's possible. I mean, the problem is they play midweek and then again this weekend. Do I think that David Silva plays three times in 7 days? I don't, you know. So, I mean, he may play in those matches, but do I think he starts? I do not.
I think his hair surgeon would yeah. recommend that he did not.
Yeah, you know, KDB, just he's too expensive. Bernardo Silva doesn't get enough fantasy returns. So I think it's Sterling and Aguero. Even the defense, I think, is I'm a little worried about now without Laporte.
Yeah.
Maybe John Stones. I don't know, but I wouldn't do that move. So maybe Otamendi, actually. He's probably pretty locked into that team now.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Although he's super expensive. I think, in Sané, if you want to take a little risk.
Cool. We've successfully named every player that plays for Manchester City. So pick one and move on. Next question right. comes from Nav555. Is it Harry Kane time? Kane looked great against Burnley, even though Spurs mm-hmm. lost. He looked like he hadn't missed a beat.
Yep.
Yeah. Some minor concerns about what Spurs are up to generally, but Harry Kane looked good, really good.
Yeah, and when he looks good, he's kind of fixture proof. I mean, they play Chelsea and Arsenal in the next two, not the easiest matches. Although he loves a derby, you know, mm-hmm. always has. So I think it's fine. I mean, he's expensive, obviously. We talked about this on a podcast a couple weeks ago. Like, if you want to, if you want to take some risks, I think that getting someone like Kane early is one way to do it. They don't play in game week 31, so that is a one area of concern, but I still think maybe it's worth the risk.
Yeah, it's just the expense. And obviously, we're going to have to drop Aguero, who we were just talking about, to make that work. I just don't see teams working with two premium strikers right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can work. Yeah. I mean, I ran with two premium strikers for a good long time, and it worked out really well. Yeah, so
that's
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of approach you need sometimes, you know, when you're trying to catch up, you know, catch up ground. Gordon says, should I keep Aubameyang for one more week for Bournemouth?
Yes.
And then he had stuck a bonus question there. He says, are Aguero and Sterling likely to be rested versus West Ham, given 120 minutes of Pens versus Chelsea? So, yes, you have to keep Aubameyang. And in fact, I think if you have Aubameyang, you have to seriously consider captaining him for this match, too.
Yeah, obviously, all the narrative surrounding the Lacazette European ban, it's not really in play this week, given that the second leg of that Europa League tie isn't until next week. So, given that Aubameyang had a rest, you think that he's definitely nailed to start against Bournemouth. I totally agree with that. As for the Manchester City players, yeah, we kind of dwelled on that, and it's a concern. It's a concern.
Yeah, it's a concern. Yeah, but I mean, I think the Bowman thing is like you just had to put your emotions aside. Yeah, it sucks if you captained him and he blanked, but it wasn't like he had a bad game. It looked like he could have scored a hat trick in the 13 minutes he was on the pitch, right? Yeah. It was like every time he touched the ball, you were like, oh, he's going to score here.
Yeah.
You know, he was unselfish to a fault. I mean, he tried to pass it to Lacazette late. He had a pretty easy shot on goal himself. So, yeah, I think if I had a Bowman, I'd captain him this game week.
Next question is that Joe guy. Should we all calm down about the double game weeks until more fixtures are announced? Seems a bit of a guessing game at the moment. Joe, you're my kind of guy. Everyone just relax. yeah, we'll know, as you said earlier, Josh, we'll know so much more after the what is it, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup that will be played next.
Yeah.
And then it's like basically all is revealed at that point in terms of
FPL. That's true. The season has let down its hair officially at that point. I agree. I don't have anything else to say. Little Jason says, is it time to jump off the Manchester United bandwagon? We started to talk about this a little bit earlier. Obviously, this is a big discussion and not one that's easy to answer. To me, Pogba feels like a possible season keeper. Right. Given how even this very tough match playing against probably the toughest defense he's going to play the rest of the season. You know, he played very well, had a couple of big chances. I just really like him. He's also been rested a ton already this season. So you feel like he can just play and play and play.
Mm-hmm.
So, big on Pogba. Rashford, I still like. I never fell in love with Rashford, maybe because I got on the bandwagon a little late. You know how it is when you're like the ninth out of 10 people to jump on a bandwagon.
You never truly love that player.
Yeah, exactly. You're always kind of looking for a way out, you know? But the bandwagon to me, I mean, it really only extends to those two players, right? I mean, they have their defense is improving. And you could consider that the defense for sure.
And also consider the fact that they'll probably not be able to catch up to PSG in the second leg of their Champions League tie. So that's Europe out of the picture in all of your concerns about rest and rotation might be put aside. So that's not that Pogba will ever get rested or rotated, but.
Defense probably is a little underrated, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have, five clean sheets in the last seven matches, I think. I don't really know anybody who has a Manchester United defender, though. You know, I mean, it's like you look up and down. I mean, I'm just talking like about our mini leagues and stuff like that. But it feels like there is an advantage possibly in picking up one of them. I mean, they have this, you know, kind of interesting run. They're another team that doesn't play in game week, 31 and in 33, actually, for that matter. So it's weird to look at their schedule. It's kind of hard to know what but eventually you're going to get two double game weeks out of them, you know? So, the first one will come when they play Watford and Wolverhampton in game week 32, you're probably going to want, two or three Man United players for that match. And then they blank again and then they end the season in a pretty decent run too. So, I don't know. So it's not time to give up, I would say, but maybe, do you agree with me about Pogba?
I do totally agree with you about Pogba as a season keeper. Rashford yeah. is, I agree with you across the board. I'm just looking at their defense again, and I'm stunned to see that their highest rated FPL asset in the defense is Victor Lindelof. He scored more points yeah. than Luke Shaw, who, you know, had a certain amount of attacking prowess earlier in the season. But both him yeah. and Shaw at 5.0, definitely worth considering.
Yeah, I mean, Lindelof hasn't played a ton of games this year, too. Yeah. So, yeah, final question from Desperately Seeking Dusan. He says, what to do with Son? I'm not going to let one game week throw me off too much. I mean, the Kane thing is interesting. But, I mean, Son got most of his great attacking returns with Kane on yeah. the pitch with him.
Yep. So, yeah, and if you watch these matches, Kane is, because he's lost a fair amount of pace over the recent years, he drops deep, and Son kind of plays off of his shoulders. So Kane is looking to collect the ball in the midfield and then put Son or somebody else through. And I think it serves to benefit Son on the whole. Son, watching that Burnley match, I felt Son just was off his game. He looked poor. And everyone's going to have a bad game. I think that was his.
Exactly. I feel the same way. I mean, it's, you have to look at the whole body of evidence and not just one bad game week. And I mean, it's just, you look at his returns, you know, especially when you bear in mind that he, you know, had one, you know, it's amazing, by the way, that he only missed one game week on the season. You know, and then he played in the Man United game. That was right before he left. I probably had one eye on the plane, you know? So, but it's, I mean, he has five double digit returns going back to game week 16, 11 goals, 7 assists on the season. It's been a great season for Son. So, I mean, if you were me, would you consider transferring Son out for a Man City midfielder? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mentioned Sané earlier today, and I think that's interesting because, you know, if you want to play the peptation game, Sané does right. feel like he's going to be starting against West Ham. But that yeah. said,
feels kind of risky, though, right?
Yeah, like, it feels like you're overcomplicating things. Son is just as great an FPL asset as Sané on any given day, regardless of the fixture. Yeah, and right. and I think the more shrewd move is to hold Son as opposed to trying to get cute.
I think so too. And it feels like it's one of those things where in the abstract, you're like, I just don't want to be without a Man City player. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. You know, sometimes it just, you just can't have him, yeah, you know? So, right. So yeah, I think that's, and maybe, you know, but, and if I don't do it, then I could have two transfers going into game week 29 and I could bring one in if I need to then.
Well, it's very much my process going into this weekend where, as I mentioned, I was without Son, who was heavily a captain pick, without West Ham coverage against Fulham and without any Arsenal attackers. And I just decided it's one game week. I'll take the risk as to not dismantle the long-term plans that I'm setting up. I got lucky this game week and you can too.
I know we've talked about our own teams a lot on this podcast, it feels like. So, all right, Brendan, those are all the questions for this game week. As I mentioned before, game week 28 starts on Tuesday. We've got a nice little like appetizer round on Tuesday, like a bunch of bad matches, basically. good fantasy matches, but not like heavy hitter matches. Yeah. You have Cardiff, Everton, Huddersfield, Wolves, Leicester, Brighton, Newcastle, Burnley. I think I'm going to have, I'm going to have five players on Tuesday and six on Wednesday. I'm going to have three in the Wolves game and two in the Everton match.
Basically an even split there, dude.
Not bad.
The Wolves defensive double up rides again against Huddersfield. How many times am I going to have to suffer through this one? Let's see.
I know.
You don't have. Do you even have Patricio anymore?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. So I will have the same Wolves players for that game.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and all the big captaincy shouts will be on Wednesday with Arsenal mm-hmm. at home to Bournemouth, Liverpool hosting Watford, and then City hosting West Ham. If I'm looking at my bus team right now, the armband is on Salah. Just thinking about that performance he had against Watford right. last year.
I feel like we have to clarify again, by the way, the bus team, a term that we coined despite what
that is an always cheating others, original. Let's be very clear about that. Yes.
But the idea of bus team, which has taken on a life of its own, is basically if you get hit by a bus, you better have that team set, Brandon, because if you miss, you know, a week and a half, you know, in some sort of coma or something.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid your team is not set and ready to go.
So Brandon, it would be embarrassing. B, you could lose ground in your mini league.
So when you look ahead to game week 28, who is the captain on your bus team right
now? Yeah, captain on my bus team is Mr. Mo Salah at home.
Who's
to
your vice captain?
Vice captain is Pogba. I think that is an ill...
Same here. Ooh,
eerie. Very eerie. I mean, all this talk about City against West Ham is getting me kind of excited about Leroy, but that's just kind of insane given the fact that Leroy Sané has given me nothing in the last month.
Right.
And you have to earn that armband.
It's true. I don't know what that game's going to look like. I guess it'll just probably look like most of Man City's home matches, which is an easy 4-0 win or something.
Yeah,
The lineup could be interesting. I have Lacazette. It'd be tempting to captain him home to Bournemouth. I think there's maybe at least a chance he doesn't start in that one, especially with one eye towards the North London Derby at the weekend. So, I'm leaning towards the same two players you are. And, you know, the only difference would be if I made a transfer to bring in someone I would think about captaining, but no one really sticks out right now. So, if I could bring in Sterling, but even then, I mean, Sterling played 120 minutes too, which makes me a little worried about having him for 28. So, I think I might just, this might be a stay of the course middle of the game week and just like, you know, get through it and then use two transfers of the weekend.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping to do the same. The Laporte injury, it either forces me to play Ryan Fraser in the midfield against Arsenal, which I wasn't planning to do.
Which could be fine.
Yeah. I shouldn't have a real issue doing that. I thought Fraser looked decent on the weekend and they're really relying on him. Right now, he's on so many set pieces and corner kicks.
Should have had an assist.
Yeah, he should have. That was a weird one because, you know, that was I had to not play against my own team and think about my overall rank because Fraser, if King doesn't miss that penalty, Fraser gets 3 points. But then I lose 1 point on Doherty and 1 point on Patricio. So I'm gaining 3 but losing 2. Fraser, though, was a bit of a differential in terms of, you know, if you're looking at the top 25K. So I think on balance, I would have.
Probably would have gained more. Yeah. Well, obviously, would have one more point. So just. But you might have picked up some more bonus points, too.
Yeah, he somehow managed to fish a bonus point out of that match, which just shows you how terrible everybody else was. Here's a curveball captain for you. Mr. Consistency himself, Raul Jimenez. Playing against Huddersfield.
That's not a bad shout. Yeah. And he didn't play the full 90 either, right? He played, you know, he played 87 minutes away to Bournemouth. But that's not a bad shout. I don't know. He doesn't like get a lot of double digit returns, which, you know, I think that's I like to try to captain somebody who I think can go off. Honestly, just Salah got taken off early in the Man United game.
Yeah.
He's at home to Watford. I don't want to overthink this one too much.
Yeah. Do we want to touch upon the weekend's fixtures real quick for those who aren't? If you're not a Patreon subscriber and you're not getting a second podcast at the end of this week, you might want our insight as to.
Why not just have them become a Patreon subscriber?
Why don't you just become a Patreon supporter? That's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. We can't talk too much about 29 yet. So, if you become a Patreon subscriber, Brendan, I think you're on deck.
I'm on deck, absolutely.
Wednesday
or Thursday night, I'll be posting a KTS episode for everyone, and I'll post to Twitter and to Slack a call for questions right before I do that. So, look out for that.
All right. Well, as we mentioned before, if you'd like to, I just dropped a pen all over. I like hit every part of the microphone. If you'd like to support what we do, get access to our Slack chat discussion, get access to the extra podcast every week, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the podcast. Genuinely appreciate everyone who supports the podcast, genuinely. Producer thank yous, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Carl Rasmus, Lini Granley, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, the Big Gaffer, Danny Evans, Chris Howell, Rafael Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Babas Kuhn, Tor Furland, Husby Carmichael Esquire. We need a new one for him. Ben Grant, James Holland, and Matt Ritter. Thanks, guys.
We have to say a special shout out for Stephen Toomey, producer extraordinaire, and now the champion of the Always Cheating Patreon Survivor League. for the 2018-19 season. Bravo, oh, Steve.
We should have put that at the top of the pod. Oh, I didn't realize that was over now.
Yeah, wow. Well, we should give we'll crown Steven on the next episode, give him proper billing at the top of the show. Okay. But, that was a long time coming. It was quite a scrap down there.
Congrats to him.
Okay, so if you want to keep up with Always Cheating, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you get your podcasts. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever it is, or wherever it is that you subscribe. Give us a follow on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. It's Instagram at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. If you've got a longer message to send us, you're always welcome to reach out via email, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or just visit our website, alwayscheating.com, where all that information is more is available to you.
That's right. You got it. That was faster than usual.
We did it quickly.
I'll give us credit. It was quickly. Yeah, exactly. Quite quick. So good luck this game week. We'll be back next week. Actually, I will not be back next week. I am traveling for work. We have a special guest. It's a very exciting special guest. I mean, do we want to reveal it now or do we want to keep teasing it out a little bit longer, Brandon?
Let's just say it's on you. Let's just say that we are our guest host is none other than the FPL mayor, Tom Campbell. Mm-hmm. Wow, I've such exciting. A hard time saying that name, Campbell.
Campbell.
We'll get Tom to straighten me out, but we've been a huge fan of Tom and his Match of the Day recaps on Twitter for a long time. He's a genuinely great guy, smart FPL manager, great insights in the game, and just a fun, lovely chap.
Yeah, we've been talking to him, feels for years and years. Yeah, obviously we met him in the UK, and I think he's been a Patreon supporter going back to like almost the first month of Patreon since we started doing it too. So huge thank you to Tom. He's always been a really great guy and great for supporting the podcast. But he's also just a smart, cool guy, and I think he's going to do a great job and probably supplant me as the host of the podcast.
We'll see.
Yeah, excited about that. I'm excited to listen to that one.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good week. Good week. Good luck in the midweek. I guess I'm tired of talking now. But don't like so many this past Friday. Don't let that deadline slip by without you noticing. Set your bus team. That's a good start.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had a weird moment on Friday where I was like, I was debating my transfer and I almost didn't make it because I just couldn't decide what to do. And I had like 3 minutes left to go. And I was like, oh God.
Wow.
I
have
to like
3 minutes. Make a decision. That's very close. That's uncomfortably
maybe it
close.
Was, maybe it was 10 minutes, but it was near it was very dangerously close to the deadline.
Yeah. All right. Well, hail cheaters, Poku forever. All that jazz.
Sounds good. See you soon, Brennan. Right. Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.